I hope that this week is a really good week for all of us. I think, Christmas has a whole swirl around it. So Thanksgiving has, a little more precious and a little more, a little more reflective time. You can be a little bit more with your families and maybe appreciate the things. Maybe I'm just putting my own thing on you, but I come off of Christmas exhausted. But Thanksgiving has just a great feel to it, and it's a great week. And so I hope that on this week it will be a time of grace and blessing. We begin our week here at St. Monica's and actually begin our holiday time with this meal that we have. It's a sacred meal. The sacred meal of the Eucharist, of course, but this sacred meal that we have on Wednesday. And Wednesday is the day that we gather people from across this city, people we don't see often here in this church. People that you and I that live in the city probably don't pay a lot of attention to. And on that day, people who are homeless, people who would not be able to eat with anybody, they're alone on that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and people who are especially single mothers with kids coming to that meal, it's really an extraordinary opportunity. I have the privilege, because I'm the pastor, so I can kind of do what I want. At least I think I can. And I stand at that door and I welcome people as they come in. Every person that comes in. And you see all of these faces and people and stories and scars and smells, and it's everything. And it's just this extraordinary moment to begin, I think, this great season. Because you and I believe, whether we're really well off or kind of medium off or not doing so well, we're all really blessed, especially in relationship to really most of this world. So we'll have something like 1,200 people here at that door, coming through that door on that day. I'll talk a little bit more about it at the end of Mass because I want you to help me with it. But I just think it's an extraordinary gift and blessing. And secondly, I think on this week, I don't know how you take it or what you do about it, but I want to give you an idea. I'm not sure this will work for you, but it's really worked for me, and it's made Thanksgiving week one of my very best weeks of the year. I remember reading a book, and I can't even tell you what the book is right now, but it was a book that ended with the notion of a plus one life. Any of you read that book? You can help me to remember the title. Anyway, it's a great book. And what it says is that most of us live well, but we don't really kind of put ourselves out. I'm not suggesting you don't, but me. I don't put myself out that often. And so things happen and we go along and we move along and we're good, but we're not that good. So I was thinking about it and saying to myself, one of the things that I really like to do this week is to text somebody in the morning early, so when they wake up on their phone, they get a message from their pastor saying, "You're wonderful. You mean so much to me. Thank you." Oh, that's a good thing. I like to receive things like that. Or maybe when someone asked me this week to do something, I might take that extra little step. Like I wanted to get over to Westwood today to the hospital, and they got this huge demonstration at the federal building. I could have killed him. But anyway, I shouldn't say that, but I couldn't get through. So I'm sitting on one side of Westwood, locked in this jam of traffic for an hour, and they're out there demonstrating, and I'm trying to get to visit some poor soul that's sick. Well, I'm going to go back, I think, tonight. I don't want to go back tonight, but I think I'm going to go back because that's that extra thing. Saturday, we had a wonderful funeral here, a beautiful funeral for a man, Paul Carver. Paul Carver was supposed to celebrate this Saturday his 100th birthday. This was the day, Saturday. So on Tuesday, Paul Carver went to heaven. He died. Paul went to heaven. So I said to Doris, his wonderful wife, "Doris, what a way to celebrate this man's life. Let's have the party at St. Monica's." I mean, I didn't say it quite like that, but that's what we had. And so on this Saturday at St. Monica's in this church, Paul Carver won the crown, began a whole new life at 100 years of age in this church. And so after Mass was over, I was standing outside in the front of the church out there, you know, and everyone says to me, God love these people. You are wonderful, Monsignor. I mean, that homily was the very best homily I've ever heard. Thank you, Monsignor, thank you. And I, of course, I said, well, no, please. And right in the middle of it, a poor old guy came with a cane and he said, where's the bathroom? Well, I didn't want to show him the bathroom because I wanted to get the acclaim. You know, I wanted to stand out there and get the rest of this then. But instead, I didn't do that because I'm thinking about plus one. So I said, come on. So I took him up this aisle right up here, took him out the door, up the steps, and into the bathroom. That was fine. I went back out, and there were still some people left, and I chatted. I went to the reception following the funeral. And when I got to the funeral, talking to people, this, that, and the other thing, wonderful, wonderful, the guy comes up to me, and he says, Monsignor, he didn't say to me, great homily, didn't say to me, great music, didn't say to me, wonderful celebration for Paul's life. He said, thank you for showing me the bathroom. And it just struck me. You see, it's those little things done with great love. That's what Teresa said, Mother Teresa. That was her whole life. Her whole life was these little things done with great love. And I don't know about you, but that to me is the great way to begin this week, to live in this week, Thanksgiving. To have a sense of some gratitude. And if we have some gratitude, then we're willing to make allowances. We're willing to have some compassion. We're willing to do that little extra thing that might make them happy and make you happy. So I hope that that frames some little part of your week, either here on Wednesday or in your own community. And then on Thursday, of course, to gather here in this church for that great Mass, Eucharistain, to give thanks. We celebrate that great day, giving thanks to our God. To Him be the glory. To God be the glory. That's what we say. So I was thinking about this Sunday. What do I say to a 5:30 crowd? Because I don't think any of you believe you're going to die. I think most of you think you're going to live forever, right? You know, young folks, we're going to live forever. Well, I used to think that way. I don't think that way anymore. And I saw a film last week. And I usually don't like to talk about films because, you know, ratings and people say, what the heck are you watching that film? You know, that kind of stuff. But the heck with it. I saw the film called Flight. I don't know if you saw that. And it's about an addictive person who is living in the great world of denial. And it's the great world that many of us are very attracted by and have lived with great authority in the world of denial. And this man went through this incredible struggle of his life to ultimately and finally, through great, great shame, come to the reality of the question. But the film has a statement in it, and it's the question that I would just hold up for you tonight as we reflect and read about that last time. The time that our Lord describes as the sun and the moon and the stars falling. A time of great, great struggle. A time when ultimately and finally all of us will be called to an accountability of our lives before the living God. Now that end time might be the big end time, you know, the big E, but for sure it's going to be the little e. It's going to be in each one of our lives. Whether you believe it or not, you will not live forever. You're not going to live forever. And there will be a time, there will be an end time. And I think the question of that film, and actually, if I could just parenthetically say this, Paul Carver, the guy I was telling you about that died at 100, when I visited him every week towards the last of his life, the last 2 years, I'd walk into his sitting room there, and he had great attendance and great people covering and taking care of him. He'd always look at me and he'd say, who are you? That's what Paul would ask me every week. And I'd say, Paul, I'm your pastor. Oh, where do you live? I live at St. Monica's. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then I'd give him Holy Eucharist and talk to him for a few minutes. And just before I'd leave, he'd say, who are you? That's the question of that film. That's the message of that film. Who are you? I said that this morning to a group of folks, and I like to check out what I say because you're younger than I am, and this was a young family, and I kind of wanted to get a feel so that when I'm coming to you at 5:30, I'm a little bit more on my toes. And he said to me, Monsignor, that's the question. We're all hypocrites. I didn't say that to you, no. He said it. He said, we're all hypocrites. In various forms and degrees. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that about me. I believe I am a hypocrite. I'm trying to live in greater integrity. I'm certainly trying to live in a greater truth. I'm trying to live with a greater sincerity and honesty in my life, but I don't always make that. And I think that really is the question of the end time. Who are you? Not what people say you are, not what people think you are. But in your really heart, in your heart of hearts, who really are you? And so I think as we journey through this last week, last 2 weeks of the year, we certainly want to celebrate Thanksgiving. Yes, we do. We want to be grateful. We want to do something that makes a difference in this world, I hope. We want to celebrate with our family. But I think we need to ask that question. We need to really, really ask. I'm kind of afraid of it, to be very honest with you. I'm kind of afraid to open up some of those doors to know really who I really am. Because I'm afraid sometimes who I am and how I act and what people think is really very different. And so I think the challenge and the struggle and the blessing and the gift for us is maybe to do what we do, whatever we're doing tonight, right here, right now, to make this really an act of worship. This moment, not worried about tomorrow, not worried what we look like, not worried how we're dressed, not worried how we come across to people, right this moment. Am I really giving praise and honor and glory to my God? Do I believe that? Is Eucharist really a moment of thanksgiving for me? When I go out to dinner tonight, am I going out to dinner tonight just to do a little song and dance? Or am I going out to dinner, am I going to have food with somebody who I honestly, sincerely love and believe, and they believe in me? I'd end with a little story. It's from Francis. I love Francis. You know, Francis is the guy in the gardens, you know, with the bird on his shoulder, you know? Okay, that's Francis. St. Francis. St. Francis was hoeing his garden one day, and a philosopher friend came to him and asked him, what would you do if you learned that you would die before sun sets? What would you do? What would you do if you believed you were going to die before morning? What would you do? Francis looked at the philosopher and said, young man, I would finish hoeing my garden. I would be faithful to what I'm doing now. So maybe that's the secret to the question, isn't it? Trying to be faithful to what we're doing right now. Faithful. Faithful to it, attentive to it, awake to it. I don't know if that helps you at all, but it's a great week. Don't want to waste it. Don't want to waste it. Don't want to waste it. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving, folks. I know you're going to lots of different places, and we'll all be together at one time or other. We'll come back next Sunday and head towards Christmas. But in the meantime, let's think about that. To live faithfully. And to ask yourself that question. Who are you?